He was about to be guillotined. Her name was Madame Owens, but she had a last word which said, "O liberty, what crimes are committed in your name." This could be said about religion, because religion can also be an enemy. The mindless executions that go on every day in Iran are a reminder of this particular thing. The most telling exhibit, of course, is the fact that the finest of ancient religions and the best ones that men have developed to this day arranged for the crucifixion of the Lord of Glory. He was not executed in some backwards arrangement because of the agitation of some United Medicine men, but by religious leaders of a great religious movement. And so the biblical message comes to us not as another form of religion, prescribing and commending what needs to be done in order that we might earn God's favor, but it comes to us as a revelation. In other words, it transcends religion. And it invites us to share in this view as we reflect on today's text, taken from the scripture reading, namely, the Sabbath was made for the sake of man and not man for the Sabbath. We can see religion at work in the incident reported. The disciples had plucked some grain and winnowed it with their hands. The Sabbath had originally been given as a day of rest for reflecting on and responding to the mighty works of God in creation and redemption. At the same time, it was declared to be a sacred day which would foreshadow the coming of the Messiah. But you see how it is reduced to the level of religion. There is this crabby little question: is it right to pluck grain on the Sabbath? Is it worth? That was the question. And the religious leaders in Israel had decided that it was worth. And therefore, it was not something that one could properly do on the Sabbath. In this conclusion that these masters of theology reached, there was no suggestion of resting as meaning responding to God's great act with one total being. Instead, resting was defined as not doing something in order to gain God's favor. It was a little rule about the Sabbath, as though man had really been created for the Sabbath and not the other way around. Now, it's not a great strain to keep this kind of rule and regulation. They were known as the sense about the law, and very few people questioned the piety of the leaders in religion in Israel. But Jesus had come, as we read, to be the Lord of the Sabbath. And so he dealt with this complaint of the Pharisees on the basis of their own scriptures. He reminded them of the case of David, who had dared to go into the temple of God and to take the showbread to eat of them and to give to his priest. They knew that there was a rule about this in religion. They knew that nobody except the high priest was supposed to eat of these showbread. David, in other words, transcended religion. There was a rule in the book of Leviticus that every Sabbath day Aaron and his successors were to set forth the showbread. But they were put there not as something about which you made rules, but as a manifestation and a reminder of the fact that God had sustained his people in the desert with bread. But the rule of privilege given to Aaron had been reduced to regulation in religion, and David dared to transcend it. Now his great descendant has come as the Lord of the Sabbath. After all, that day had been created for man, because it epitomized all the undeserved blessings that the God of Israel had given to his people. As the day of rest, the Sabbath had been designed to foreshadow the coming of the age of the Messiah, which would not require works of law, which would not prescribe to people what they ought to do in order to earn God's favor. It would be an era in which people would be reminded that God had done everything, that he had already taken care of the problem of sin. The Sabbath was a day which God himself observed by looking around and seeing that everything was good. And so we keep the Sabbath when we look around upon the things of God and we see that all these things were very good indeed. And so the Apostle Paul, transcending religion, came to the conclusion that one day is as good as the other. In fact, he wrote to the Romans, one man esteems one day as better than another, while another man esteems every day alike. Let everyone be fully convinced in his own mind. And following in his footsteps, Martin Luther dares to write a new kind of explanation to the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It reads, we should fear and love God, that we may not despise teaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn, whether it's Saturday, whether it's Monday, Wednesday, or Sunday. He could say this because he understood what our text says, namely that the Sabbath had been made for man and not the other way around. Transcending religion, Luther stood in the service of the Son of Man, who is Lord also of the Sabbath. He came to set us free from the burden of religion so that he might lead us into the green pastures and the still waters of his unbelievable and undeserved grace as offered by way of his revelation. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.